How is everybody? It's a good morning. It's a really good morning because we're not running a snowplow. Just thinking about that when I woke up this morning. I thought, you know, I didn't shovel any snow. I didn't put any salt down. I didn't have to scrape any windows. Oh, glory to God. And I'm sure Ben is excited right now because he's not doing it either because they didn't have service. So God is good to all of us. Amen. It's a good, good day. And we are about a week away from greater faith. And so a lot of what I'm going to talk about today is just to encourage us to get ready. Encourage us to lay aside other stuff and just get ready for the word that's coming forth, for the people that are coming in, to get us ready. Because once we're ready, all those other people that are coming and joining, it'll be an atmosphere ready for them to come and receive. We create that atmosphere. The Lord, through us, creates an environment where they can come in and feel loved. Come in and feel welcomed. Come in and feel at home. And we can hook with our pastor and draw on the anointing that's in him and pull out revelation and wisdom and knowledge beyond what he studied, beyond what he planned. We can draw that out. And all these pastors and ministers that are coming from everywhere, they receive it. Not only that, they take it home. And they minister to their congregation. Oh, it's a great opportunity for us. Glory to God. I want to start out in Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to go to verse 18. And I think most everything, unless I say something different, there's only a couple that'll be in anything but King James. So Matthew 13, verse 18. This is Jesus telling his disciples about the parable of the sower. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. And we're going to go through a few of these. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. I want to stop there. So many times I'm kind of like Craig was this morning. I have read that scripture I don't know how many times, but I never, because it says, understood it not. I've just always thought it never sunk in. But when you get to there, that which was sown, not to his ears, it was sown to his heart. It made it there. It wasn't just a fleeting thought that bounced off his eardrums. It made it all the way to his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Go ahead. But he that received the seed onto stony ground, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon, which means shortly thereafter or soon, or just in case you had to look it up like I did, with joy received it. So he heard it, he received it. Go on, you can go on, 21. Yet hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. He endured for a little bit. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by, and you can stay here, he was offended. You see, the word came to him, and he tried it. He hung in for a little bit, and that word that got to him stayed with him. Back up one. Let's look at the verse right before it. Next one, 21. Sorry. He hath not root in himself. I think sometimes that's what we deal with. I think sometimes we know God. All of us that are in here, we know the Lord loves us. He wants the best for us. He has a good plan for us. He wants us healed and whole and healthy. And we receive the word with joy and with gladness. But sometimes we know us too well. And so sometimes the enemy uses that. And then when persecution arises, we're like, oh yeah, I'm not worthy. I just can't. And we back off. And then because of the word, we're offended or we draw away. Go to 22. He also that receives seed among thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. This is another one. He received the word and apparently became fruitful. He was fruitful. He heard the word and became fruitful to the kingdom of God. But after a period of time, all of the cares of the world pulled him back and he was unfruitful. See, he couldn't become unfruitful unless at some moment he was fruitful. So this person heard the word and got involved and got to doing stuff and was fruitful. But then the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, it choked out the word that he had. It got too busy, too hard, too this, too that. And as Brother Moore talks about, the pile-up theory got to him. And the weight and the care of the world got to him. And then he became unfruitful. Go to verse 23. But he that receives seed unto good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it, which also beareth fruit and brings forth some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. So four types of ground Jesus talks about. Only one out of four, 25%, stay fruitful. All of the other ones fell away for one reason or another. Even though the word was sown in the heart of the first one. Even though they were fruitful. Even though they had stuff going on in their life that was good, that benefited the Lord, over a period of time, they all fell back and became unfruitful. But this last one became fruitful, produced fruit, 30, 60, 100 fold. Glory to God. Let's go to Jeremiah 29:11. This is the one I was going to do in the NIV. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Go to 12. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Go back to 11. This is the good plan. This is what God has for each and every one of us. And the enemy wants you to think different. Every time something happens, oh, God doesn't want you to have that. God doesn't want you to be that. Oh, God put that on you. He has a good plan to prosper us, not to harm us. Remember John 10:10? The thief comes not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come not to put sickness and disease and lack and want, but I am come that you would have life. I believe the Amplified says to the full till it overflows. That's a good life, to have and enjoy life. That's what we want. That's what that verse 23 in the sower part, that's who they are. The ones that have a harvest, 30, 60, 100 fold. That's those guys. That's who we are, right? We're that group that produces, that doesn't wane and fall by the wayside, that doesn't get offended, that doesn't walk away, that doesn't have the cares of the life weigh us down to where we can't do anything. We stay hooked and we reap a harvest for the kingdom. Glory to God. Proverbs 4 and 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ears unto my sayings. 21. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Brother Craig was talking about the word, and I was laughing because some of the scriptures that I was going through, I'm like, I just felt like, you know, I probably don't need those today. So I sloughed some out. He read two of them. I was like, well, that's why I didn't need to read them. So go back to that 3. It's Proverbs 4:23. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You can leave that up for a minute. You see, that's what happened to that one guy. The word got into his heart, but he didn't keep it with all diligence. He let it come out of his heart. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Well, like I said, we're about a week from Greater Faith. And we're going to go through a few scriptures and kind of encourage you to stir us up, to get rid of some of these things that made us unfruitful. Maybe there's cares of this life going on with you. Maybe there's things that didn't go the way you planned. Maybe there's people around you that you didn't really ask to be in there. Somebody put somebody over you or around you that you have to be around. Those are cares of this life. And they can weigh you down. They can make you so focused on those things that you take your eyes off the Master. You take your eyes off the one who has a good plan for you. The one who wants to help you through every trial. You know, He said, take my yoke upon you. Well, when you start carrying cares, you just picked your yoke up. And you weren't designed to be that way. But if you'll carry it, He's a gentleman. He'll let you. You'll be struggling, walking right beside Him. He's like, you know, I can help you. You know, I can carry that for you. You know, I'm right here. Right here. I'm right beside you. Would you let me? Can I? Maybe. And He'll let you carry it till you finally sometimes just wear out and go, oh, Lord, why aren't you helping me? He goes, I've been trying to get this thing this whole time. Can you hand it to me? And then you pour it over on Him, and His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And so your life then becomes light and easy. We've got pastors coming from all over. And these pastors are believing with all they got to get here. They're dealing with all the stuff, the cares of life at their house. And they're coming here to get a word, to get knowledge, wisdom, revelation. They're believing for Brother Moore and this ministry to pour into them the love of God. That they can be rejuvenated and refreshed. That they can be filled up, full and overflowing. Their glass may only have a drop or two left in it when they get here. They've used everything they've had to try to get here and be here. And then they walk in and we go, hey, good morning, how are you? Hey, how are you? And we talk to them and we love on them and we show them the love of God. We treat them like royalty because they are. They're children of the Most High God. And so we treat them that way. And when they get here and they get refreshed, body, mind, soul, and spirit, all of us have a part of every word that goes forth later. Everywhere they go and minister to their people that are hurting, their people that are sick or dealing with the cares of life and the things going on, we get a part of it. Are you excited about that? Yes. How many of you want the good news to go all over the world? How many of you want the good news of healing to go all over the world? The good news of prosperity, not having lack anymore. The good news about the salvation that Jesus gave us to go all over the world. Amen? You have a time and a place to be able to be a part of that. Matthew 13:54, we're going to look at it. Matthew 13:54-58. And when he was come unto his own country, this is Jesus, he taught them in their synagogues insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? So he did stuff. He was able to show them the kingdom, who he was. They were astonished with what he taught, what he did. Keep going. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, and Simon, and Judas? Keep going. And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then has this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Next verse. And he did not many mighty works there. Read that last line. You see, they got offended, and the Bible said it was unbelief. They got offended, and it was called unbelief, and nothing good could happen there. He couldn't do mighty works. He couldn't do the things he'd done everywhere else. They marveled at it in one verse. Go back up one verse. Go back one more. The last line. No, you're fine. Back to that one. You guys did great. Whence then hath this man? They were offended that God gave this man this wisdom, these mighty works. Not so much that it happened. They read the Bible. They know when Moses brought the children out of Egypt, there were mighty signs and wonders. When they left Egypt, every person was healed miraculously overnight. The Bible says there was not one sick, not one feeble among all the tribes. That was a lot of people. They knew it. They read it in the synagogue all the time. They knew all of the scriptures. But that right there offended them. Whence then hath this man all these things? Go back to 57. And they were offended. It was the this man that I didn't see till yesterday. I was like, wow. It wasn't that things happened. It was that Jesus, Mary's son, that grew up right here, that beat on all kinds of wood and drove nails in everything he could drive nails in, cut everything down with a saw. It was him that God chose to give that to. So he was offended. And it was called unbelief. Go on down to Matthew 26:30. We're going to start in 30. Now, this is Jesus. This is right after he did the communion with his disciples and just before he's arrested. In verse 30, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. Keep going. Then saith Jesus unto them, all you will be offended because of me this night. This is Jesus talking to the ones closest to him. He just broke bread and did communion with them. And he said, you're all going to be offended at me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Keep going. But after I am risen again, I will go before you unto Galilee. 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. You can stop there. You see, I think a lot of times we feel like Peter. The Lord gives you a word, gives you a place, gives you something. You're so excited about it. And you're like, oh, God, this is the greatest thing. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy to be doing this. And this is all I ever want to do my whole life. I'm so excited about it. And then a little while later, you're like, wow, Lord, why am I here? Why'd you put me with these people? These people, they're just like me. Why did you put me with them? And you become offended. That's what happened. His disciples saw all the miracles. They saw all the signs and wonders. Yeah, Edward. All the signs and wonders. And we're so excited to be one of the 12. And then the trials and the cares of life came to them. They took their master. And they became offended. I'm going to go back to fishing. I'm going to go back to this. I'm going to go back to that. I don't know who he is. I don't know that man. I've never known that man. Jesus called him the rock that he was going to build his church on. And in a time of trial, he fell away and was offended. All of us can do so. I've been guilty of it. I'm thankful I got a few people that look at me and go, what in the world are you thinking? Sometimes they have to tell me that more than once, but I do come out of it. Praise the Lord. And so, I want everything the Lord has for each one of you, for you to take it in. I want you to get everything the Lord's got for you. And not only that, I want you to reach every living soul that you're supposed to reach with the good news. Now, you may not be the preacher. You may not be the usher or the greeter. You may be the businessman that needs to fund it. You may be the guy working and changing tires to keep the ministry vehicles going. You may be the mechanic or the guy fixing the well system or whatever it is. But whatever your job is, do it unto the Lord. And let people know the only reason you're good at it is because of Him. The only reason that you stand here and can talk in an intelligible sentence is because of Him. And you spread the good news of Jesus, who He is, what He did for you. You don't have to be a preacher to do that. One of the staff and I were working on something that I had never done before, and it was pretty intricate, and I had to run a razor knife on some product that I'd never dealt with before. And every time I stuck the razor blade out to cut it, I'm like, okay, Lord. And then I'd start a cut. Okay, Lord. And then I'd start a cut. Because I'd never done it. I needed His help. I knew I didn't have it in me. But I knew He could. He told me to come here. He told me to help this ministry. So every time I get a task, I got two choices. I can go, oh yeah, I can probably deal with that. Or I can go, the Lord sent me and called me. And He equipped me to be here. So I can do that. I can accomplish it, whatever that is. That is what's going to happen in a week. A lot of you are going to get called on for stuff. A lot of you have openings to touch lives that you may not see for a year. A lot of you have opportunities to work with somebody that needs stuff. They're just like you. They may not be perfected yet, but they're on their way. And so you're going to have the chances to rub shoulders with people you may not work with anytime in the near future. You're going to see ministers and pastors and evangelists and all sorts of people coming in that they need the love of God. They need encouraged. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to build ourselves up. We're going to build ourselves up, because if your glass is empty, you're not ministering. You're not helping. Got to find the next page. I may have dumped it out somewhere. Here we go. As Brother Moore would say, please stand by. I don't like being the one saying that. Let's go to the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Song of Solomon 2:15. I believe that's right. Oh yeah. It says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Now, if you've been here very long and you came to some of the marriage meetings, you read that every marriage meeting. Now, what it is it's Solomon talking about young love and how the little things spoil the vine. How many of you have been married over 20 years? Have you had an opportunity for the little things to bug you? All of you are laughing. Absolutely. So I was trying to kind of figure out how that all applied to us for what we're doing. And the little foxes are the ones that come in and hurt relationships. Whether it's between husband and wife or family members or spiritually between you and God. And so I wrote a few things down. We need to be vigilant to guard our heart, to guard it from worry. If you're worried about something, you don't respond to the next person as well as we should. If you're in fear, you don't respond as well. We already talked about the cares of this life. If you're offended, unbelief, bitterness, anger, doubt, unworthiness, condemnation. If you're distracted just by other stuff, somebody comes to you and they really need help, and I've been guilty of this, so I apologize to anybody I did this to. they come to you to tell you something, and you're like, yeah, yeah, and you're still trying to finish something that's going. And then you're like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then you get to join in with their conversation because you were distracted with other things going on and you weren't able to fulfill what they needed. You weren't able to walk in love. Remember Jesus when the scribes and Pharisees said, okay, what's the best commandment? And he told them to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And it fulfills all the law. If we can do just that, if we can just love each other, get away from the distractions, get away from the junk. Now, sometimes the distraction is this hurts, that hurts, my head hurts, whatever the health issues are. And sometimes they're painful enough. I had knee surgery last year, and there was a few months in there I couldn't hardly think of anything else except trying to get through the next step. It hurt every time I put weight on it, to where you had to consciously make yourself engage with people. Make yourself talk to somebody. Make yourself go one more step and one more step and one more step. And so I became acutely aware of how a health issue can separate you from everybody and what you're supposed to do. But you know, the Lord's design is that we be whole. He sent His word, like Craig was talking, and He healed us, and He delivered us from our destruction. And He made us whole. He gave us all of that. And we're going to pray over that in a little bit. Because all of the hindrances are just the enemy trying to keep us from fulfilling the call of God on our life. The little foxes. So we're going to get rid of some foxes. Go to Luke chapter 20. Actually, on your way there, which it's not, but I just wanted to say it. Psalms 119, 165. Psalms 119. He says it all the time. So, but you know what? On your way. It's not. Great peace have they which love thy law, the word. Great peace. And nothing shall offend them. Now, you can go to Luke 7 and 20. When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, that art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Keep going. And in the same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see and the lame walk and the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear and the dead are raised and to the poor the gospel is preached. 23. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. You know, that's not just in just the Lord. That's being offended in whatever He called you to do. Who's not offended in me, in what I have for you? Who's not offended in the call and the place and the position that He called you to? Maybe He called you to a company and you know He called you to it. Most of the time when people get those jobs, they're so excited because they got it. The Lord gave me this. And then Dave gets a phone call later and I don't know why I'm even there. Well, it's a little fox. And it's been allowed to cause an offense to pull you out of maybe being the only one that can reach the boss or the coworker or the other person that's around you. The only one who can truly show the love of God to that person. Maybe that's the only person that you have to reach at that job. So we got to get past ourselves. We got to get past all of the cares of the life and the flesh stuff. And We got to minister to them, and they may be the person God chose to use somewhere else. Remember Saul and Ananias. And Saul was mean. But the Lord used one man to pray for him and remove the scales from his eyes. And he changed his name from Saul to Paul, and he wrote most of the New Testament. Because one man was faithful. The Lord told Saul, go in to him. And he did. That man had every option to go. And he's like, but Lord, he kills everybody. You want me to help him? I can promise you the person you work with isn't as bad as what the reputation of Paul was. Amen. But he was faithful, and he went ahead and did it. And because of that, we have Paul the apostle that went about and went to all of these places, went through hardship and trial. Every once in a while when I think, oh man, I don't want to deal with this anymore, I try to find a scripture where Paul was shipwrecked, where he was bit by the viper, where he was in the hurricane, where he was beaten, where he was stoned, where they thought he was dead, where he had to be let down, where he had to run away, where, I mean, so many things this man put up with. What little do I have to deal with? It's not much. You know, I heard somebody talking about, and it's a story, so it's nothing scripture. But this guy comes to Jesus with his cross, and he's like, oh, my cross is so heavy. I just can't bear it anymore. It's so big. I just can't hardly make it. And so the Lord's like, well, okay, just walk in here and lean it up on the wall. And then you just look around, and you pick the cross that fits you better. So this man walks around the corner, and man, some of those crosses are big. And he walks around looking at how tall these crosses and how big and how heavy they are. And he walks around and he looks around and he's in there and he's like, oh my goodness, all these things are huge. And then he walks around the corner and he looks over. He goes, oh, I like that one. I want that one. And he picks it up and he walks out with it. And Jesus goes, oh, so you got your cross back. So often we think our burden is so big until we look at other people's. And if we'll just open our eyes and see it, the Lord can use us so mightily for where we are. Glory to God. Oh, so many times what we really think is horrible, somebody else overcomes every morning. And still ministers the word to people and loves on people everywhere they go. And we're almost debilitated because of it. But oh, God can help us. That's why we're here. We're going to get help. Go to Romans chapter 8. And we're going to go to verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Go to the next one. He that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also, shall he not with him also give freely give us all things? Let's go back to that. Go back to that verse. I've got to read that somewhere. But delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Go to the next one. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. You see, and it's another one I tell myself quite a bit. I told the choir this the other day. When you're asking for something from the Lord, if he gave you Jesus, all the other stuff is insignificant. For sure, if he gave you Jesus, he'll give you everything. I've got children, and you could pretty much have anything. I wouldn't give you one of them. So, if the Lord gave you his son, and not just gave you his son to help you take some leaves out of your yard, he gave you his son that he could be ridiculed and spit on, that he could be beaten, that he could be pierced, that he could be bruised and battered, marred more than any other man. That's what God did. And if he'll do that, he'll heal a hangnail. He'll heal cancer. He'll fix your finances. He'll get you into the house. He'll get you the job. He'll get you the raise. He'll get anything you can believe for. Go to Mark chapter 11. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Everything we're dealing with, if we can just focus back to that, have faith in God. Keep going. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. The next one. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And all of you know this scripture really well. But down here at the end of the road, there's a stop sign. Knowing there's a stop sign there is one thing. Actually stopping is something different. Having the knowledge that it's there gives you the ability to protect yourself if you stop and another car whizzes through the intersection. But the knowledge alone won't do it for you. Just knowing, oh, I need to stop, is one thing. Doing it is another. We all know these scriptures. We're all aware of them. We've heard them. They've been in our heart. But maybe something didn't go just right. Maybe a prayer didn't get answered just right. Maybe this or that, the cares of this life got in. And you got a little fox. And then that little fox got a buddy. And then another buddy. And then those foxes had kits. Now you got a whole bunch of little foxes. And every time it's a little more separation from the plan and the purpose God has for you. And so if you're in here today and you're dealing with foxes, we're going to eradicate some of them today. And no, we're not killing foxes, just so everybody's clear. Not today. Let's go with not today. It is legal, but not today. Go to Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, you're not wrestling against your coworker. You're not wrestling against a cold or a flu or whatever it is. All we got to do is receive what He paid for. Amen. Receive what He gave us. Amen. And so many times we feel like we have to earn it or deserve it, but it was a free gift. You received it not because of anything you did. It was the gift of God, so that you couldn't boast about it, so you couldn't brag about it, so you couldn't tell somebody, Edward got it, but look at Edward. Y'all can't get it because you're not as good as Edward. Picking on Edward today. But that's why it's a free gift. That's why God gave it to us as a free gift. I watched some of Brother Moore's sermon last night, and I was laughing because so many of my notes were in some of what he was talking about. And I'm like, praise the Lord, I like that so much. It's the coolest thing. But one of the things he was talking about was it's a free gift. And he used ice cream. When you ask little kids if they want ice cream, they don't go, oh, that's probably a good idea. Ice cream. I think I might be able to try. No. They come get ice cream. It's like when the music plays. They don't think about, oh, look at all these people. Yeah, not going to dance this time. No. Little kids, the music plays. They get jiggy with it. They are dancing. They don't care. That's right. So many times, the Bible says if we would just become like a little child. Well, today, let's do that. Yes. Let's be honest with ourselves. Let's be honest with the Lord. TV, make sure all the cameras come to me. Nobody else recording anywhere else. Just focus here. If you're in this place and you've allowed foxes in your life, if you've allowed things to come between you and God, sickness and disease, whether it's cares of this life, whether it's distractions or hindrances, and there's something which most everybody's hands will be raised. That's why I put all the cameras up here. There's no recording of any of it. And so if you're in here and there's even one fox trying to take root in your life, would you be bold and honest enough to raise your hand? One thing that's hindering you from fulfilling the whole call of God on your life. One thing that's keeping you from being in the middle of His will in every area of life. All right, you can put them down. Now let's be honest one more time. I have so many scriptures. You can keep on me. I have so many scriptures where Jesus healed every sick, every diseased. And I'm just going to run through them. You don't have to put them up on the screen. Matthew 4:23, in Galilee, Jesus healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Verse 24, He was in Syria and all sick people, and He healed them. Matthew 8:16, He healed all that were sick. Matthew 9:35, all the villages and cities, healing every sickness and every disease. Matthew 12:15, great multitudes came to Him and He healed all their sick. Matthew 14:14, great multitudes and He healed their sick. Matthew 15:30, there was another great multitude and He healed all of them that needed healing. Matthew 19:2, great multitudes and He healed them there. Luke 4:40, they brought all to Him and He healed them. Luke 5:17, there was a man born by four and the power was there to heal them. Now that one man's the only one that got healed. The power of God was there to heal everybody. it specifically says the power of God was there to heal them. So if you're in here and you don't mind being just blatantly honest, if Jesus was having a healing line today and you had seen all of what he's been doing and there was anything bugging you and you knew he healed all, all sickness, all disease, the dead were raised, he healed everybody. Would you be honest with yourself? Cameras again up here, I'll try to stand still. Just raise your hand and say, I would go. I would go see Jesus. All right. You can put your hand down. Now, cameras, you can do whatever you need to. That was a lot of us that have foxes, that have stuff in our body that needs to be healed and whole. And I'm sure online, others that feel the same way. So if you would you all stand with me? I'm not going to come and get anybody. I'm not going to do a line and lay hands on a bunch of people. Because the Word heals. And the Bible says if there are sick, they can call on the elders of the church, and part of us are here. And we'll be praying with you and for you. But if you're here and things are hindering you from your full service to the Lord, and you so desire, I want you to pray a prayer with me. And then I'm going to say amen, and then I'm going to pray over everybody physically, body, mind, soul, and spirit, that the Lord, the anointing that's in this room, would heal you and touch you. And so, but first of all, let's get rid of all of that other condemnation from not doing what the Lord told you. Then you're free. Then you have boldness to come to the throne of grace and receive all that He has for you. Just like a child who doesn't think they've done anything wrong runs right into your arms and bold and unashamed and asks for anything. That's where you can be in just a minute. So if you would, just raise your hand and pray this after me here, wherever you are online. Say, Father God, I know you have a good plan for me to prosper me, not to harm me, to give me a hope and a future that you richly give me all things to enjoy. I ask you, forgive me for any of the foxes I've allowed in my life, for any of the distractions, any of the things, the cares, the worries, the fear. I ask you, forgive me and help me. And as you help me, I will serve you. I will walk with you. I will hear you and obey you. In Jesus' name, thank you for forgiving me, welcoming me back into the family as a child of God. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're in here or you're watching online, and there's something physically bothering you, the same Jesus that came to save you, that word save in John 3:16 means to create or make whole or new. If you go down to the verse 17, he came into the world not to condemn the world, but the world through him would be saved. That means he can create you new physically, mentally, emotionally. And so if you're in here, don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. If you want me and the rest of these guys to hook with you for your healing from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, just close your eyes, put one hand in the air. If you would have came to Jesus, there's no distance in the Spirit. He's here. If He wasn't here, we wouldn't be having this kind of service. You wouldn't have hope. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He is the Word made flesh that dwelt among us. And God sent His Word to heal us and deliver us. So just focus on the Lord. And I'm going to pray over every one of you. Father God, I thank You for Your anointed Word. I thank You, Lord, that You watched over Your Word and performed it. Lord, I thank You that You sent us out to teach and preach the good news, the gospel of healing, the gospel of being made whole, the gospel of the peace of God, the joy of the Lord. And so, Lord, I ask You for every single person in this building, watching online, who will watch online. Lord, I ask You, heal them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. Lord, let Your anointing flow through them right now. They've all prayed a prayer and they no longer have a sin consciousness. They are open and receptive unto You, ready to receive all You have for them. So whether it's a hangnail or a headache or cancer or back pain or knee pain or heart or liver or lung or whatever it is, Lord, You know exactly for every person. And I ask You to heal them. Touch them right now. Make them whole. Make them new. If You have to put a new part in there, Lord, I ask You to make it and create it new. Make the heart valves work, Lord. Make them function right. Oh, Lord, clean up the lungs that there'd be no more disease or filth in there. Lord, strengthen their bodies where they were weak. Make them whole in You, strong in the Lord and the power of Your might. If you're in here, if you're watching, just raise your hands and say, thank You, Lord. I believe I receive it in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Isn't He good to us?